He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this wonderful Wednesday afternoon. Good to be here. Good to be alongside you all for another edition of Behind the Bench. 2 hours today for this show before we head on over to San Joaquin Memorial. That's right, we're doing high school hoops tonight. Opening night for high school hoops. A little overlap this week as we got the high school hoops plus the Friday Night Lights on Friday. So a lot of high school coverage here on this Central Valley week here the week before Thanksgiving. But we're excited for it tonight. Of course, we have the Jalen Green jersey retirement tonight from San Joaquin Memorial. One of the stud players for the Phoenix Suns, who came over from that trade from Houston with the KD trade. We're excited to be covering that, the pregame starting at around 6:45. Of course, it could start a little earlier. We're trying to get Jalen Green on after the ceremony wraps up from San Joaquin Memorial, and we look forward to that. Myself, Paul Metters, should be calling a very good basketball game in general as well, because Bakersfield High and San Joaquin Memorial High had two pretty decent seasons last year. So 7 o'clock tip, 7:15, that's what they're kind of shooting for as far as it's tonight. I do get the opportunity to talk to Brad Reznovsky before this game. That's going to be coming up in the show here at around 4:20 or so. So in the 4 o'clock hour, we will have Brad Reznovsky on to discuss what's coming up tonight. Of course, previewing their season with the San Joaquin Memorial Panthers in basketball. We'll talk about a whole lot of different stuff today, of course, 2 hours to it. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us from the previous hour. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on the weekdays here on 1430 ESPN. You can listen to him live and on demand on the 1430 ESPN app and the 1430ESPNFresno.com website. And also, we've been lately been live streaming his show as well on the YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch side of things. And we will be doing that again. We're live streaming right here, right now on our show, which is going to be, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. or tonight, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. usually on the live stream here, which you can say hello. Hello, I'm right here. I see you. And it is right here on 1430 ESPN Fresno social medias, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch there. We have the Lee's Air Hotline, which is sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Lee's Air Hotline is 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. 559-320-1430, the way to reach our show. The Lee's Air Weather Check sitting here at the top of the show. 60 degrees and a little partly cloudy today. We will see some rain tomorrow. That's what it appears to be right through the midday, right through the heart of the day tomorrow. We are going to wake up a little bit wet and rainy. 54 degrees tomorrow will be the high. Friday we'll see a little bit of more clearer weather, kind of like today, up to 58. Saturday 60, peaking up to there. Going to be a beautiful, beautiful evening for football for the Fresno State Bulldogs to wrap up their season. So we will discuss that, of course, and it's going to be just relatively mild, timid, tepid, calm weather for the next foreseeable 10 days or so here in the Central Valley. Like I said, good show today coming up. We're going to talk all kinds of different sports stuff as well. We're going to get into what I'm excited about tonight with our broadcast, what I'm excited about with Fresno State football, which has a great opportunity in front of it, with Utah State coming into town. We'll discuss some future stuff with the NFL and some news items, of course, that are popping up here and there. Of course, we'll talk to Brad Rusnovsky, like I said. That's coming up around 4:20 today for San Joaquin Memorial Basketball. And all in all, should be a very fun show leading up till 5 o'clock today. And yes, we're only going to 5. Paul Metters is going to be on the call tonight with me, which means we had to move up our schedule just a little bit for today's schedule. So at 5 o'clock, usually you have Sunbird Sports Show at 6 o'clock usually on these Wednesdays. We're going to move FPU Sunbird Sports Show to 5 o'clock today, and that's going to be over on 790. So 5 p.m. Sunbird Sports Show, go until 6, and then Paul's going to head on over to San Joaquin Memorial and broadcast the game with myself and him. So looking forward to that. Should be a fun one, and then we will have a good time there. All right, so let's get ready with the show here. Of course, on the producing side, just solo doling today, as he usually does on these Wednesdays. It's a Wednesday with Jorge. And Jorge, how are you doing on this Wednesday before I guess 8 days before Thanksgiving, and this Wednesday before the final Fresno State home game, all this great stuff coming around in sports. We got a busy week of sports. I feel slightly overwhelmed what we got coming here in the Central Valley. But how are you doing on this Wednesday?
I'm doing all right. I think, I'm waiting. I'm like, this is the best part of the year for me.
Yeah.
Just because, Christmas is coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's not hot.
I know you love your Christmas.
I do not like the hot or the heat. I mean.
Speaking of hot and heating and all this stuff right now, I am dying in here with how warm this studio is, and I should not be. It's feeling like the summer in here. Did we turn up the heater in this?
We did a little bit.
Okay.
Because it was cold out in the lobby, but okay. You can't like sun directly behind
not,
you. So.
I'm not vibing with it right now, Jorge. I'm not vibing with the heater on. I might be difficult to live with some of the situation, but I am a person who says, well, you could just always layer up when it comes to warming up yourself here in terms of it. But I don't know if anybody else out there agrees with me in terms of the heating side of things. Frankly, the electricity bill should be next to nothing in terms of heating and cooling and all that kind of stuff. Now, where I was at in North Dakota, yeah, it was like necessary or else your pipes would burst because everything would freeze in terms of it, Jorge. So actually one time when I was in North Dakota, I tried to immerse myself. I was watching football. Do you remember that really cold playoff weekend where every game was like a freezing game? I remember the Chiefs-Dolphins was one of the very specific games that was like that. It was like negative 10 or something. It was like something ridiculous in terms of the feels like temperature. Do you remember that weekend? I think the Bills had to like move their game because of a crazy snowstorm against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, definitely.
I was being a fool in North Dakota because it was very cold as well there during that time. And I tried to immerse myself into watching Kansas City and Miami. I was watching with some friends online. And I opened the back door to my apartment just to kind of like let the cool air come in and make me feel like I'm actually in the stadium, right? And it was all fun and games until I started hearing a little creaking from my sink, a little creaking from my fridge, and a little creaking from my bathroom sink. And I started realizing, oh, I should close my door. I think the pipes are starting to get a little worked from the cold air. And I now realize that's why you have to heat up your house in the Midwest in terms of it is no joke. You do not want to cause a flooding situation in the middle of negative 10 degree weather.
That is definitely something that does not happen here.
No, exactly. So when people complain like, oh, the heater's on, I need to turn on the heater when it's 60 degrees out today. I look at them very funny. That's just where I come from. I look at them like, they think they're a little psycho. And this is what I'm dealing with right now because I feel like it's very warm in here and I want to turn the heat off. I hope can we turn the heat off? Am I allowed
yeah,
to ask?
No, yeah, we, think all right. We should be.
I'm dying here. I'm also dying to get to this game tonight. San Joaquin Memorial hosting Bakersfield tonight. In high school hoops, we have all of the fun things coming up for this broadcast tonight. And Jorge, this came apart, came together pretty quickly here. I'm excited to bring back high school hoops, first of all. I know you're excited to bring back high school hoops, but more often than not, you don't get the opportunities that you're afforded to recognize some of the top-tier talent that comes here in the Central Valley. And Jalen Green, of course, is a name that people know, a name that people are recognizing as a guy who is, I think it's fair to say he's more than a plus player in the NBA. He's an impact player in the NBA that has still, I think, some places to go in terms of his ability. With the Suns team that is currently playing a little bit better than I think people thought, you know, he is injured right now, and he's going to be out for, it sounds like, 4 to 6 weeks. I think I heard something about his hamstring. But it is nice that the schedule gods aligned it to the situation where, with the Suns being off after beating Portland last night, and they have a home game Friday, this was the right day for them to come out and have Jalen Green get his jersey retired next to the Lopez brothers, next to Pondexter, and many other greats out there with San Joaquin Memorial Basketball. Jorge, you think of the greats of San Joaquin Memorial, and it is no easy task to get your jersey retired thinking of those players that have been out there. I'm sure you were well aware of the Lopez twins when you were living around here in the Central Valley, right? And I'm sure this is a great honor. I'm excited to see what it all plays out tonight with Jalen Green.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these guys were, quite frankly, legends.
Yeah.
I remember Poindexter and the brothers. They were very well remembered because they didn't play in Fresno State.
Mm-hmm.
They moved on to somewhere else, which means they had different kind of talent,
Yeah,
and it showed because their careers are in the NBA are very different than others that came around.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Green is also something special. So he decided not to even go to college and just go straight to the G League and see what he formed himself there. So, for him, the only schooling he had and the only, alma mater he's going to remember is really San Joaquin Memorial.
That's an interesting point you make. He doesn't really have a college to come back to, right, with him going to that G Development League, him kind of going that path, which is an interesting path for some guys to go through when it comes to that. But, he is still such a talent that it was well-warranted, well-deserved, and I think some people, of course, look back to their state championship run when he was a junior, right, and what he was able to do as a basketball player at the high school ranks. And I think, no matter how big these players get, it is fun to see them kind of react when they walk back into the gym that kind of made them who they are and get that realization of where it all began. I think it transports them back to those memories. It's you can be the biggest player in the world in any sport, and I would guarantee you going back to your roots is something that always will humble them and always will kind of reset them in a way. And I think this is going to be an awesome night for Jalen, and I hope everyone gets the opportunity to really see what tonight and what kind of special night it could be for a local superstar like this.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. I think I know that a lot of people are going there, and they want to see maybe some other people that are gonna be there. There are rumors of big players coming in by, but
rumors. I don't want to say any names yet.
It's gonna be fun, and it's good for him for Jalen, because he's worked hard, and he's still in, developing his career in the NBA, and he still look up to, I wouldn't say a prospect anymore, but somebody that could become bigger than what he is right now.
Certainly. And it's a good game tonight, too, because Bakersfield High has a lot to a lot of good stuff going for this team as well. Solid team out of the Bakersfield area in terms of what they can do, and so we'll see what they are capable of. Of course, one of the many games going on tonight, 20 games in the Central Section. One of them of note for sure, they got Buchanan out at Laguna Beach tonight. In terms of their action, you got Sanger at McLean tonight. I'm interested in that. Roosevelt's at Madera, so just to name a few. Basketball has been getting going here. This is kind of the opening week for a lot of teams, and I think it matters to get off to a 1-0 start, get them going in terms of that, and I can't wait to kind of see where this season goes. This is a fascinating basketball season if you really kind of think about it when it comes to the high school ranks and the high school levels. By the way, San Joaquin Memorial ranked 21st in the state of California, according to Cal High rankings. Only St. Joe's right now is at a higher level in the Central Section, but we know what St. Joe's is all about. Where is St. Joe's here in terms of ranking this year? Just taking a look. I'm trying to skim through here. St. Joseph is number 10 overall out of the Central Section, and they were incredible. Of course, they lost Tunde Issifu, who was the all-time leading scorer in California state history. That's pretty ridiculous to think about if you think about all the great players that have come out of California. San Joaquin Memorial's right there as well. And by the way, Jorge, I heard San Joaquin Memorial beat St. Joe's in a scrimmage earlier this year. So just a scrimmage. I don't know if it means anything, but maybe it means something. I don't know. Maybe this Memorial team is good enough to win the Central Section. We certainly feel like it could be a team we could be seeing at Selen. 21 in the state of California, Jorge.
Well, you talked to Coach, and he was praising his team very well. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's got very high hopes for this team. So
certainly.
Hopefully.
Bakersfield Christian is another Central Section team in the top 50 on Cal High, 35 overall right now. On Cal High, Clovis North sitting at 40. If you look at Central Section teams, and Clovis North, they lost a couple guys, but they got some guys back as well. And that should be an interesting team with what they've got coming up there as well. Those are only just some of the teams in the top 40 right now from Cal High Sports. So just kind of keeping paying attention on that. All right. Tune in tonight, folks. It's going to be really fun. And by the way, just a reminder, you cannot walk up and buy tickets to this game. Just a heads up. You cannot walk up and buy. If you think you're going to like, oh, wow, I heard Jalen Green's going to get his jersey retired, I'm just going to head over there tonight after I get off work. Nope. It's only pre-order. I would say go to your San Joaquin Memorial. Go to your different entities, their websites, social media. I'm sure they got all the information so you can buy tickets. I know there's still a few available on the site there. So if you want to get in the door tonight to see Jalen Green and some other potential luminaries in basketball, that is the way to go. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. When we come back, we are going to talk Fresno State football, some big injury news from the team, and also what are we looking at this Utah State team. Is this the toughest test they've had so far this year? We'll talk about it next here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here on this Wednesday afternoon. Let's talk a little Bulldogs here right now. Fresno State Bulldogs. Get in the conversation. Leaves Air Hotline 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show. 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show. If Coach Enns, by the way, came out and said after practice yesterday, I didn't get to it yesterday in terms of the show, but I wanted to give an update here on our show. Coach Enns talked about injury updates, and sounds like Jaden Mandel out for the year now. He had surgery on his elbow, arm. UCL injury there, and it sounded like it just kind of needed some work in terms of it. It sounded like it was just kind of hurt throughout the year, trying to tough it out. But he was the guy who certainly was in the conversation of quarterback competition, the local kid who's from Buchanan. And so I know some people out there maybe were clamoring to see him if really it didn't work out with Conklin or Warner. But that will not be the case this season. So no Jaden Mandel for the rest of the season. And it's a tough break for a kid who I think is I wish there's probably more opportunities for him here at Fresno State, but I'm wondering now with Deegan Rose coming in and what other quarterbacks are going to be in that quarterback room next year. I don't know what kind of timeline it is for Jaden Mandel to get in there, but I root for him because he's the local guy who is there, and I hope he has a great recovery from this elbow injury. He's going to have to work a lot if he wants to change the mindset of what the future plans are here with the quarterback side of things, if it's going to change. But he is out of the conversation of playing football this year due to that injury. And Jorge, it's a tough spot for him to be in. Of course, I think a tough spot for the coaches to have a guy like that who's probably putting a lot of good work on the scout team, all that kind of stuff. But it's tough to see the local guy go down like that.
Yeah, there's always, the tough, prospects here in town that might, want to have a chance of playing, and maybe, they're the third or fourth quarterback. I met a lot of them that, are very talented, but they end up just staying there at third or fourth and could never develop into something bigger. And it's just maybe this time we'll do him well, and sitting behind and just watching other people will give him a different perspective, and he'll come back.
Yeah. We'll see. The time can be coming for him as well when it comes to next year, and who knows what will be needed out of it. So I wouldn't say the door is completely closed on Jaden Mandel, but it's a tough setback for a guy who I think is working hard to make an imprint on his players and teammates there. Now let's look ahead of this game, right, with Utah State. Utah State coming in as a team that 5-5, 3-3 in the Mountain West. I wouldn't say they are totally dead, but they are basically dead as a team in the Mountain West. Two wins here against Fresno and Boise at least helps their case, because those are two teams above them. So you could get head-to-head situations and maybe some other situations turn, and you get all the right permutations, and Utah State could find themselves playing in a Mountain West championship. Tough loss last week for Utah State when it came to their game against UNLV, double overtime. I didn't watch the end of the game, but I heard they had a kick to basically win the game and did not execute on it. But outside of that, it's been an interesting team that knows how to put up points. I mean, Jorge, I'm looking at it here. This team has not scored under 20 points in all but one game this year. The only game they didn't score 20 or more points was against New Mexico 3 weeks ago, which I would say is probably their worst loss of the year. And it's a fascinating team in terms of style. I'm going to present this different kind of conversation to it, because I think, and I'm looking at the Fresno State schedule, the way it's kind of played out throughout this whole season, right? And what kind of players we've seen, what kind of offenses we've seen, what kind of things we've seen from every opponent we played, all the way from Kansas all the way up to Wyoming. I think this is the best quarterback we are facing this year in Utah State with Bryson Barnes. Have you looked at the statistics, Jorge, of this quarterback?
No, I have not.
Bryson Barnes, he's got a rating of 154.7 on the year. He is passing completion at 63%. 2,352 yards on the year. 18 touchdowns, 3 picks on the year. Oh, also, how about 135 rushes for 531 yards and 8 touchdowns to add with that as well. He is a dual threat with 3.9 yards per carry, Jorge. And the only thing I would say his knock is you can get to him. You can sack him. 33 sacks on the season so far out of this quarterback. He does hold on to it maybe a little too long, but he is a guy who can push the football down the field against some good teams out there. A&M out there in terms of that. How about Vanderbilt? How about Hawaii? How about, UNLV, of course, had that game as well. Now, is he going to do that against some of the upper-tier defenses that we've seen? Some tougher opponents have held him to a little under 200 yards, but his rushing ability has been the thing he's leaned on in those games where he certainly can struggle on moving the ball down with the pass in terms of that. But this, I think, would argue, statistically at least from what it stands by to me, is this is the toughest quarterback. This is the best quarterback Fresno State has faced. Jalen Daniels. From Kansas side. Before you react to this question, I want to present what Coach Entz said in the presser on Monday about this quarterback. This is what he had to say about Bryson Barnes.
You know, the plus one run game, can create issues for, and it has created issues for a lot of people. I think they're, averaging 460 yards offense, but then you can complement that with some of the RPO stuff that they'll do. It's a lot of gap scheme up front. They're getting backers into the fit, and all of a sudden now they're throwing the glance, they're throwing the bubble, they're taking some shots. So they're going to make you defend the entire football field, and they do a really good job. You can tell he's a tough kid too. He's taking some shots. I've had the opportunity to watch the last three just TV copies, just kind of watch the flow, tempo, personnel, substitutions, all that stuff. And you recognize he's a tough kid. And you can tell, loves to play the game and plays it the right way.
So how do you frustrate a quarterback like that in a game this
summer? We got to be great at tackling. It's going to come down to the simple things. We've got to be able to get off blocks. We got to tackle. We got to understand layering out our fits. We can't just all of a sudden be all at the line of scrimmage right now, because then we're going to open up some of those uncontested throws that he'll make off the glance look or off the RPO look. So I think trying to change maybe pictures, play some multiple coverages. How do we find ways to get some pressure at his feet? I think that's one thing that you look at statistically they have struggled with a little bit at times this year is just some pressure. But how do we do it where we know our issues and we know the solutions? Because the last thing you want to do is give up a bunch of explosive plays.
I mean, he stated a lot of what I was going to say. He mentioned, though, the RPO game and the situations where you're going to have to make choices on defense. And can this defense afford themselves to be able to make the right choices for four quarters in this football game? This is as tough of a test the Fresno State will face in terms of their defensive side. It's not like they're not capable. They've shown they've been capable all year. But where you hear all this, I get nervous. I get nervous in a game where this team can pass. And it's our defense versus their offense, and who wins in this kind of game, and where can our offense sustain stuff on the flip side? Utah State isn't particularly the greatest defense out there, so I'm wondering what the number is in terms of where you got to hit in terms of points in order for you to feel comfortable that you can outscore this team. All things sounding, Jorge, I think this is going to be the toughest quarterback Fresno State faces this year.
Yeah, it might be the toughest quarterback, but I think we're going to be the best defense this quarterback has faced.
It's true.
So it's going to be a challenge for him, too. It's not going to be easy. I think that if we, if we take care of some things in the secondary and we're tied up back there, I think that he's going to have a hard time finding someone to throw to. And if we pressure him like we pressure every other quarterback we've seen so far, I think he's not going to have time to throw. So hopefully, we come out like that and we're able to disrupt his game.
I think the toughest defense he's faced, I'm just kind of looking through ESPN analytics.
I mean, not to brag, but we are one of the best defenses in the
– We're number 18 right now in terms of stop rate. A&M is the only comp I can think of where A&M, they scored 22 on A&M. A&M's a top 25 defense in the nation right now.
Okay.
So if you want to look at the A&M game, which, by the way, that was, you know, that was second game of the year. So can you take anything from it in terms of that?
And A&M probably threw their backups in there in the second half, or
maybe it was not like
at the end of the quarter.
It was touch and go there for a while in terms of A&M. You know, okay, yeah, it was like, you know, it got to 30-14 in the third quarter, Jorge. In terms of that. It was not. I mean, it was not tight, but it wasn't also like, you know,
out of hand. Yeah,
you know. 44-22 was the final. It really was 44-14. So like a 30-point deficit. They added a touchdown and a 2-point at the end of it in terms of it. But, you know, I think the gap discipline, like Coach talks about, where we struggle in those situations of where you have to make choices as a player in terms of the RPO, in terms of the read option kind of things, in terms of all of that kind of stuff, feels like Fresno State can get stronger as the game goes along when it comes to those kind of offenses and what we faced. What were some teams? I'm trying to think of some teams that kind of had that similar vibe to it. I mean, was Kansas kind of like that a little bit at the beginning of the season, right?
And yeah.
Things were a little touch and go there.
Yeah.
I don't know if Hawaii was that. I think Colorado State was a little bit of that, wasn't it? Or was it just more of a straight-up run game? Nobody played very well. Nevada was kind of like that in the second half with their new other quarterback that came in. Not Purdy, but the other guy who came in with that.
Yeah.
You know. It's not easy, this game. I said Wyoming a couple weeks ago in terms of what is the toughest game left. And now I sit here and I really feel like I messed up that answer. I think this Utah State team is going to be very tough to beat on this game, especially with all things considered, everything around it. I think Fresno State at least recognizes it. And I think Fresno State knows the caliber of opponent that they have. But I'm trying to think of, like, what the number is for Fresno State to score to feel like you can beat this team and where it is. Is it 28? Is it 4 touchdowns, Jorge? Is it 4 touchdowns that can beat this Utah State team on Saturday? I think it is.
Yeah, I think it's 2. I mean, if you say, like you said, they've been, you know, consistent in scoring, you know, close to 25 points and four touchdowns could make it, you know, a real good game.
They averaged 32.9, by the way.
32?
32.9, basically 33 points per game on the season for Utah State. So, you know, I mean, this Fresno State team, I think, is more talented than this Utah State team. I wonder what the matchup is that's going to really determine this thing. Like, where is Fresno State going to really struggle in it? Is it going to be, you know, the run offense and what it can do in terms of this defense, in terms of what it can do? I'm trying to look at the statistics in terms of rushing per game, in terms of that on the defensive side. You know, is it a one-dimensional kind of offense too from Utah State? Like, what does it look like there in terms of that? I'm trying to see if I can find that. Utah State. Wow. Look at this, Jorge. I just looked at rushing yards per game between both teams in the national in NCAA. They are right next to each other at 160. Literally, these are two teams do exactly what they do on the rushing side in terms of offense. So that's a fascinating development there in terms of that. On the Utah State defensive side, I can't even find them on the national rankings in terms of I have it wrong. Never mind. Utah State. There we go.
Maybe that's where we'll be better.
That might be where we can be better. Because yeah. I think Wyoming's stingy in that way. Here's they're clearly in the bottom half in terms of rush per game right now. Almost 170, yeah, 175.2 rushes per game, or rushing yards per game. That's like UNLV territory, Colorado State territory. Who's the team we played? Georgia Southern. Them gives up 220 per game, the way they run, give up run offense on there. So that is an area where I think Fresno State will once again try to lean into in terms of it, because – I know Conklin is what we're looking at, and everybody's keeping an eye on what Carson Conklin is as a quarterback in this offense. But once again, it just doesn't feel like you need to do a whole lot against this Utah State defense to get things rolling. And keep in mind, in the rainstorm, opening drive, touchdown, just like that, in the efficiency and the offense showing, I can imagine you can double that up in terms of the offensive side when it comes to the production there. So doing the math, it feels more like it's going to be a shootout. It is going to be one on the defensive side, though, I think, from the Fresno State perspective. And can you turn this Utah State team over on that side of the ball as well? The Fresno State Bulldogs are very good when it comes to getting teams to turn the ball over. So I think that's a key as well.
I think you know what? This is going to be a perfect game to see Coughlin score some touchdowns. This is where he's going to make his money. So hopefully, you know, he's ready and we can see him do something.
Gotta. Weather's perfect. It's going to be 60. Sunny.
Nice.
No
nice
wind.
Cold. Like, you know, football weather.
You got the white unis out. Come on. Look good, feel good, play good. If he breaks out this game, I think the silence. I mean, you know, you got to win at San Jose State, but I really, really hope the Fresno State fans get their silence, you know, get silenced a little bit based off of what Conklin does. I do have a belief that this can turn around.
I personally still think EJ's better, but you know what? Prove me wrong.
It's a give or take, you know. EJ's going to give you more, but like I said, EJ's going to give you more turnovers. It's what you want to live. It's the devil you want to live with versus the devil you don't know versus the devil you don't. You know, like, it's like, what do you want to live with more? Do you want to turn the ball over more, but you have a better shot at scoring, you know? I don't know. I like putting our defense in the best position possible to do what they do, and then just flying around the football field and prevent teams from scoring. I like this version better. That's just where I'm at.
Hey.
But everybody's got their preference.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their preference. And I think Coach Entz agrees with what I'm saying. And that's what he probably prefers as well. All right, Jorge, let's take a break. Let's wrap up this first hour next here on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. I got a great Sharks fans out there. I want to talk about that game last night real quick for you because, man, was that electric for y'all. How about the start of the game? What, 4 minutes in, two goals from your star player, Macklin Celebrini? Get things going right away. What, two goals in 4 minutes, I think it was? Two goals in 5 minutes? I don't have the games flow in front of me. It was pretty gnarly how it all kind of started for the Sharks last night in terms of it. I'm going to pull up the box score right now because it was a remarkable game against the Mammoth. And it was 2-0 for a while in this hockey game. Yeah, it was two goals in 6 minutes to start this game last night for the Sharks at SAP Center, whatever they call it now. I think, yeah, SAP Center. And kind of a little in scoring. I dipped away from the game for a little bit, but I gave it a shot because I knew coming back home they would. This is kind of one of those games, if you want to kind of stick around and be a team that's in that conversation, they need to win this one as they continue to flow through. What I think we're about – I think Dan Rusinowski said it best on Monday when he came on the show. We are at the quarter point of the season right now. But then things get creaky in the third period. Utah scores with about 10 minutes to go, and then they score with about less than 3 minutes to go, both by the same guy, J.J. Paterka, who gets it done. And suddenly we're going to overtime, and suddenly we're looking at this like, man, the Sharks, they do this. They do this all the time, just like last year. You lead the third period, can't finish the game. You lose it, and you lose points on the opportunity. But last night, Macklin with two goals already, looking for the hat trick in overtime, snipe shot from the top of the zone, gives the Sharks the victory in 3-2, the two full points as they beat Utah. Now they're 9-8-3 on the season. And a hat trick, solo hat trick on the goals. Macklin Celebrity getting it done. The kid is a superstar last night, and that was awesome. Also, how about Yaroslav Askarov with 24 saves last night outside of the two goals in the third period. The guy was brilliant in some situations as well. And the Sharks are a fun team to watch. They're not just a fun, bad team. They are a fun, fun team, I think, now. And there's some serious competition of what they're going to be competing with. And, of course, tomorrow night, massive game for the Sharks. Massive game. They got the Kings coming into town. Kings are a team that's been perennially winning the Pacific Division along with Vegas. So beating the Kings tomorrow night does a lot for you in terms of the standings. I think there's a real buzz with this team. You know how I know there's a buzz with this team, Jorge? You know how I know?
How is that?
ESPN Instagram is tweeting about Macklin Celebrini's hat trick last night. They don't ever post about hockey on that Insta. But I saw it last night on my Instagram feed, and I knew it was special. Because yeah, ESPN, proper.
I seen it too.
Yeah.
It was there.
Did you see the highlights?
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
19 years old, Jorge. I mean, we're talking phenoms here. Like I think there's some fun stuff with this kid. I think it's a great thing to see the Sharks kind of revive as a team through this group. And I said this, the biggest question is, can they have enough support around him to continue the sustained success? It's going to get tiring. It's going to get taxing through it. But three more goals on the night tonight for last night for Macklin Celebrini. I'm trying to think of who he's leading right now in the statistical categories. He is currently six points behind the points leader, which is Nathan MacKinnon tonight. Going into tonight, he has 27 points on the night. And, man, he has just been electric to watch. Where is he at in terms of the goal scoring? Okay, yeah, he's 19th overall in terms of the goal scoring, but third in points overall. To have this production out of your 19-year-old, who's up there with guys like Connor McDavid, David Pastrnak, Nathan MacKinnon. That is something special to talk about as well. A little sports news, a little news, switching to it from the Bay Area teams real quick. Jorge, did you see the Niners signing a new kicker today? New sports story brought to you by Valley Pure. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Matt Gay joining the 49ers.
I think he was already part of the practice squad.
He was signed to the practice squad on Wednesday. They cut Russell Gage, and now they signed him to a contract, as it now seems like Eddie Pinheiro is out with hamstring strain. Matt Gay was waived by the Washington Commanders earlier this week. I don't believe he was kicking for the Commanders there as well. He was. He missed two field goals on Sunday for their loss to the Dolphins.
Well, you know who took his job, right?
Well, yeah, so Jake Moody now for Washington, go figure. How do you feel about Matt Gay as your kicker, a guy who literally just got thrown to the scrap heap a couple days ago?
I don't know. It's odd. I think it's a backup to the backup, but honestly, I think we've been doing fine. Hopefully we won't need him this weekend. But
just touchdowns. It's all touchdowns. Yeah. Carolina.
If we could do just touchdowns, that'd be awesome. But, he does have a leg. I know that for sure. But I think his accuracy was the one that was maybe not correct. But maybe coming to the Bay may do some good.
Maybe. There you go. Hey, I don't have enough time to break down this game. I forgot to put it on the docket here, Jorge, but maybe we do this in the next segment. But I do want to talk about Fresno State basketball winning last night. Did you hear they got on SportsCenter?
Yeah. I've been looking for the highlight, but I can't find it.
Usually our people, our TV people, are so good about clipping it wherever the segment is, Fresno State basketball. I can't seem to find it anywhere. Maybe they post the clip on ESPN.com. I could look for
it. What they do is, I think it was the midnight part of, or the late night.
Late night edition? Yeah.
Edition, you know, because it was a West Coast game.
Well, because the game started at 6.
Yeah, and they usually do a different sports center in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it didn't come out in the morning and it just came out at night. So maybe that's why.
I want to dive into this game. And I want to look at some of the statistics from it because I think there's some interesting things going on with men's basketball.
This was a good game against a good opponent.
They are battle-tested right now. This men's basketball team is battle-tested. They're winning close games. They were not doing this year. There are 4 wins overall. I don't know what the expectations were. I think I got to 12 wins. I think we wanted to at least double the win total from a year ago.
Yeah.
I think we're on pace for it, at least a little bit. But, man. There's some interesting things going on at Save Mart Center right now for this basketball team, and I want to discuss it next. So we got another hour of the show still to go. We'll talk some Fresno State basketball. We'll do a little spread talk as well. And then we got Brad Reznovsky on as well from San Joaquin Memorial to preview this game tonight that we will be calling at 7 o'clock. So stay with us. Hour number 2 is coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, man. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right, Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Wednesday afternoon. One more hour of our show before we say sayonara to you and hand it off to Paul Metters over on 790 for the Sunbird Sports Show, which then he will hand it off to us back over at San Joaquin Memorial where he will take his travels, and we will be calling tonight's game between San Joaquin Memorial and Bakersfield for high school hoops. Yes, I don't know if we've ever had a week where we've had high school hoops and Friday Night Lights in the same week, Jorge. Is this a first for you, at least in comparison?
I'm trying to think about it. I think we had baseball and basketball at the same time.
Baseball and basketball at the same time.
Not football, because football usually is over by the time we start basketball.
Yeah, exactly. But it was such a special occasion. We had to go after this game. So, another reminder, by the way, we got Central and Central East at Clovis. That's pretty nice. That's a pretty good game. We've had a great couple of games on the docket for this week here as well. So we cannot wait to be there for this one, and cannot wait to be talking about it here on 1430 here on ESPN. Before we get to that, by the way, Brad Reznovsky going to join me on the show here in about 15 minutes or so to talk about this game coming up tonight. So if you want to hear a little preview of that, that'll be coming up at around 4:20 or so. Let's talk Fresno State basketball last night. How about a win over Stephen F. Austin, who, by the way, Stephen F. Austin coming in 4-0 on the year, and the Bulldogs absolutely pull out a win on their home floor. It's 2 straight games of getting wins in very dramatic fashion on their home floor. And Jorge, the tide is turning. Is that what we're looking at here for this team? At least winning some of these close games, making things happen on the basketball court last night, 80-78. Is your opinion changing about this Fresno State basketball team?
I mean, I always had hope for the team.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first few games didn't look that well, but I think, like I said, preseason, you know, or... Well, it's not really preseason anymore, but the beginning of the season is always difficult because you're trying to get everything together and you're trying to perform how you practice it in the offseason, you know? And sometimes it doesn't get there right away. It takes some time. I think the team's coming together and they're finding each other, you know, each other's quirks and like differences and playing as a team finally. And I think it's working out for Coach Vance. And you know, it's finally getting to a point where you're seeing good basketball on that court.
How about DeShawn Gorey is a name I think a lot of people need to be paying attention to. I've been seeing people talk about him as a raw prospect right now in basketball, but his ability to do what he's been doing on the court, 20 points last night, 8 for 13, 2 for 4 for three-point range, 7 boards last night. How about 4 steals as well last night? You know, Gorey is kind of this lengthy forward guy that has been one of the many additions for Vance in this offense and defensive side. And he's been kind of a revelation so far for this team. First half points, 15 points in the first half to stamp it to go. And then suddenly it's been the other names that have been kind of supplying the other support on this team. How about another 5 guys in double figures last night? How about 18 from Zion Collins, who's kind of come on strong on the attack? By the way, Jorge, look, they won by 2. Fresno State only put up 54 shots from the field last night. Stephen F. Austin put up 73 shots last night on offense, but shot a much worse clip. In terms of it, I don't know if I have the shooting percentage in front of me right now in terms of it, but 33 for 73 for Stephen F. Austin, 32 for 54 from Fresno State. They're getting efficient shots where they need to get efficient shots. They're not wasting possessions as much as they are. And the defensive side, I would imagine, is reaping the rewards just a little bit more in terms of the Fresno State side of things. They didn't shoot many threes last night. There was a little more mid-range game to Fresno State, albeit not like anything crazy, but, you know, 59% from the field versus 45% from the field. Bulldogs limiting the damage from three-point range. Stephen F. Austin went 9 for 29 from three-point range. Fresno State was very selective in the 3 points last night. Only 5 for 12 last night. I wonder if attacking the basket has allowed them to kind of feel a little more freer at scoring here. It has caused a little more efficiency in their offense as opposed to firing the 20-25 threes that maybe at least makes sense mathematically that Fresno State needs. But I think last night there was a little more decisiveness in the way they attacked that defense, and maybe this is the formula. Attack the rim. Score at will. You know, draw on the defense, and then hit the three when you need to. But nothing of volume threes where you just hope they all go in, or hope at least a majority of them go in, and then you can win a basketball game. This is an interesting development, I think, in how Fresno State's been playing basketball this year.
Yeah, I think they saw their opponents struggling to, you know, make the buckets, but they took advantage of that, and they went on and they scored their own buckets, and I think that is something that wasn't happening before. And they weren't taking advantage of the opportunities that they had. And I remember last season seeing them, you know, struggle, you know, getting that rebound and then do nothing with it. And then all of a sudden it's going the other way and they're getting scored on. So I think this year it's a little bit different. And definitely that you see a little bit more of what Coach Vance is putting into this team.
The other thing to note is that Fresno State shot a lot more free throws last night for this game. I'm pulling up the stat right now. 11 for 19 from the free throw line for the Bulldogs. Only Stephen F. Austin only got 3 for 6 the entire game from the free throw line. They're defending without fouling, Jorge. They're frustrating teams without fouling. And honestly, if you rebound a little bit better, I got to look at the offensive boards. What were those last night? In terms of it, I don't know if I have complete offensive. Yeah, I do have offensive rebounds. Okay, so Fresno State lost the rebounding battle by quite a bit offensively, giving up 19 offensive rebounds to their 23 defensive rebounds last night, Jorge. So they still can't do that. Still can't give up 19 offensive boards, that many chances. A better team is going to capitalize on those multiple chance, you know, trips down the floor in terms of it. But outside of that, I mean, you're looking at a game against New Orleans, who New Orleans is an interesting team. I kind of was looking at their resume. They did beat a TCU team earlier this year at TCU. Kind of got a strange resume in terms of it. And then you go into the Acrisure tournament, I believe, which is the one on Black Friday that starts. Where they got Pepperdine in action. You remember that Acrisure tournament where they, I don't know how they lost to Cal Baptist in that game last year. If you remember, it went to like multiple overtimes.
Yeah.
Last year.
It was kind of late 2 at 9, and yeah. I was watching it around. Right, yeah. I remember.
But they've got that going in terms of the Acrisure tournament. And then they got the Cellin Arena game against CSU Bakersfield. So this is a fascinating stretch. They're playing better basketball, and I think the momentum's right. Yeah, you know, a lot of people wanted to fire Vance about a couple weeks ago when they lost to USC Upstate, but I think there is improvement on this team. I think it's undeniable the improvement so far on this team so far because of just the late game situations. Now, is this going to work in the Mountain West this year? I don't know. I like the idea of him, you know, improving the win total by 5 or 6 games. Hell, I like him winning a round one game, at least one of those play-in round one games in the Mountain West tournament. I think there's a real legitimacy to that. They got pieces here, Jorge. They got pieces. And when you got pieces, you got a chance. And I don't know if they had a chance last year. This year they got a chance, it feels like, to steal a couple on the side.
Yeah, the team looks good, you know, within what it was last year. But I feel like they're taking it one step at a time. This team is not giving up right away, and I think that's showing what they're, you know, they're capable of. Yeah, they're, like you said, there's still a lot of work to be done, and they're not, you know, the best team or the team that, you know, we hoped they would be, but they're working on it, and I think they could get there, definitely.
Absolutely. It's all in front of them, you know? I'm glad this is kind of starting to turn its narrative a little bit. And I kind of hope there's a lot of people there Friday night for the game against New Orleans, because this is the last chance you get before we don't get another game at the Save Mart Center until, I believe, the end of December. If I am remembering correctly, I think this is quite a ways until we get the next game for Fresno State in terms of home game. Hold on, let me get the schedule in front of me real quick. I want to make sure I get that right. Yeah, this game is on Friday, November 21st for Fresno State. Their next game is a Tuesday night, December 30th against Utah State, Jorge. So a little bit of ways away before you can get your chance to watch the Bulldogs again. Although, albeit, there is the Cellin game on Sunday. Are you more interested now? Now that the team's playing better, are you more interested in the Cellin game?
A little bit more, yeah. I think it makes a difference whether they're, you know, they're a winning team or a losing team. I think that definitely it's gonna be a different atmosphere there at Cellin, and I kind of want to go now.
I'm there too. You know, Fresno State fans got an interesting dilemma on that weekend, right? Because they got the San Jose State game got announced at 7:30 kickoff in San Jose that Saturday. So, folks, I got your weekend for you. You know, you travel up San Jose, gear up, go to the game on that Friday, Saturday night for the Bulldogs, Fresno State football, get a little hotel. Then you take the nice drive back down at around in the morning, down Pacheco Pass, you know, hit Los Banos, get on the 41, or excuse me, get on the 99. And head on home and take a little nap when you get there at around 1 o'clock. Get there at 2 o'clock downtown, Cellin Arena. Boom. What a weekend. What a weekend to get out of town after Thanksgiving. I'm sure you want to get out of town, too, with all the relatives that are around there and the people you're trying to host for the Thanksgiving dinners and all that kind of stuff. Or I think travel's feels like a really fun weekend for the Fresno State Bulldogs, if you're a Bulldog fan in terms of it. Am I doing it? Maybe. We'll see. Got a lot of things to do on the Thanksgiving weekend. So, a lot of things to plan. Okay. Let's take a break here now. because we got some things to go over with head coach Brad Rozdowski. We got this interview with him coming up next, and we're going to discuss a lot of different things, including tonight's game, including things coming up for this program itself and what it's going to contend with. It's a very lot of hope, lot of optimism surrounding this Panthers squad this year in 2025-2026. So stay with us. We're going to have a conversation with Brad Rozdowski next here on 1430 ESPN Fresno the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here. And, of course, it's always great to be joined by the great guests that we have on this show. And can't wait to talk to our next one, who is, I'm sure, getting ready for what should be a fun night of basketball and beyond. The head coach of San Joaquin Memorial Boys Basketball, Brad Rozdowski, joins me on the Lee's Air Hotline. Brad, how are you doing on this Wednesday? I'm sure you're very excited for what is in store for your team tonight.
Yeah, Phil, as always, thanks for having me on. Big night for our program, for our school, and everything, obviously, with retiring Jalen's jersey and then opening up our season. So, yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on, but, yeah, really excited about what's going to transpire in that gym tonight.
Yeah, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to even give me a little opportunity to talk about this one tonight, of course. And, first of all, you know, just in terms of getting Jalen down there tonight, of course, it's nice that it worked out with the scheduling and having it line up with this opening game. And I'm sure you're thrilled to see him back in this gym and getting the chance to honor him among other great San Joaquin Memorial players. What was it like to kind of know this thing was developing into what it was? And obviously you guys locking down a day. How excited were you that people were going to see Jalen back in that gym tonight?
Yeah, it's. I went and saw him play in when they played the Clippers back in April, and I talked to him after the game. I said, "Hey, Jay, we're looking to retire your jersey this year," and I'll never forget the look he gave me. He was so excited. We just kind of had to wait till I got my schedule, the NBA schedule, and with my home, I only have about 6 home games, not counting playoffs. So we had to find the right date. Happened to be our first home game they played. Of course, he's hurt. But at the time we set it up, we didn't know he was going to be injured, but, they played last night in Portland. He flew back with the team, and the team is actually, chartering him back today with some, the rumor is a couple players are coming with them, a couple Suns players, a couple of the brass people from the Suns. So they got a full plane coming for tonight. So yeah, it's been a long time coming, but we're really excited to just have him back in that gym.
Yeah, I got to imagine in those conversations, and obviously, throughout the season, just getting a chance to talk with him. I'm sure he's excited about that start with Phoenix and how things are going. Obviously, he would love to be healthier, but all things considered, I got to imagine the emotion of him knowing that where it all starts for him here at San Joaquin Memorial. I mean, I'm sure you can kind of look back to what he was, tell me a little bit about why you feel like, this means a lot to him, I think, tonight, outside of all the different things that have maybe transpired from him being an NBA star now and people knowing his name. But when you talk about retiring a jersey at your high school, that's got to suck you back into him being the high schooler back a few years ago.
It's going to be, Phil, it's going to be kind of strange seeing him walk in that gym. The last time I saw him in that gym was his junior year, and we won a state playoff game, and then we had to go on the road and play one. But that's the last time I've seen him in that gym. It's going to bring back a lot of memories, and I know he's excited about that too, to come back, see the student section, and just see his jersey unveiled, and it's going to be in the rafters forever. So I know it'll be a lot of emotions for him tonight too, and he's got a lot of his family members going to be there, so. He is. I've been told by many people that he is really looking forward to tonight.
What do you remember from those days, those Jalen Green days? Like, Did you know his capabilities of where he could go? Obviously a top pick at some point in the draft. Like, when did you start realizing, oh, this is somebody different than I've coached in quite some time?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I get asked that a lot. And I think it was sometime during probably late in his freshman year, early sophomore year, when I was like, okay, he's starting to get some big D1 offers. Now they're talking NBA player. Now he's ranked number two or three in his class, which was a really – I mean, his class was unbelievable with Kate Cunningham, the Mobley, Josh Giddey. I know I'm missing some guys, mm-hmm. but Jalen Suggs. What an incredible class that was. And him being ranked number – he was ranked number two for most of his high school career. So stayed there, didn't really move from that. So, but I'd say, Phil, about – beginning of his sophomore year, I said, okay, we have something special here. I talking NBA, and I never coached an NBA kid, but, you know, people are in my ear telling me, listen, this kid's going to be in the NBA one day. So we just kind of took that all in and took advantage of his basketball ability.
And for you, you know, handling the hype of that, right? How does one go about it? I don't think there's like a tell-all. Like, I don't think there is a guidebook telling you, hey, as a coach, how do you handle all of this attention now? But how did you guys handle it? How did you deal with it as he's just trying to be a high schooler, you know, trying to play basketball, you know? How do you handle that as a coach when you have that kind of attention?
Well, all kudos to Jalen, really. He handled it great. He's very mature. I mean, there was times, Phil, we never saw him after a game because he was doing autographs or especially when we were on the road, you know, we allowed that. We let people kind of soak in the fact that they came to that game to see him. And so it was his post-game talks. Jalen was never around, always doing autographs and stuff. So he handled it all really great, spoke well, and was very mature for his age.
Certainly. And I'm sure there's a lot of thrill with, you know, the players you have on your roster to see this, see him in the gym now. And I know you got a game to play tonight, but what does it do for the guys who are on this roster who are hopefuls of playing some higher level basketball? What are you excited about with them and getting that opportunity to be around some great basketball talent?
Yeah, they're excited to have him in the gym tonight. We talk about Jalen a lot. Coach, what was he like as a player? What was he like to his teammates? You know, so now the fact that they're going to be able to shake his hand and maybe get an autograph, and it's pretty special to them. It's tough for him to be around during our season because he's involved in his season, so we don't see him a lot. I do talk to him and text a lot, but I think our kids are really excited. And then knowing that, you know, there could be a couple other high-level guys in our gym tonight too that Jalen plays with is pretty exciting too for them.
You tell them soak it in, but we got a game to win tonight. How do you balance that a little bit between it all?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. The last thing I said yesterday after practice, said, hey, we got to keep things in perspective. We got a really good basketball team coming here tonight that is not going to fear us. They're excited about coming here and playing us on a big night, you know, Jalen's retirement. So yeah, you got to kind of keep things in perspective and know that we have a job to go 1-0 tonight, and, you know, that's where our focus is.
I got to imagine as an athlete, I'm like, I don't want to be the guy to lose on Jalen Green's retirement night. Like, do you feel that pressure a little bit? Do you think the kids will think about that a little bit?
No, I mean, it's a pretty confident group.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously if it happens, it's not going to be fun, but they're kind of a really, you know, happy go lucky group, and, you know, they're going to be loose and they're going to be ready to go. So it's probably something I really think about, and obviously if it happens, then, you know, I'm not going to be real happy about it, but I think they're going to be ready to go.
Well, I think you got some great talent on this team that we saw last year on display, and excited to see what they are turning into as basketball players. We could just kind of go to a couple names on the roster for sure to start, and I think the guy I'm maybe most excited to see tonight is Parker Spees. He's a senior now. He just signed a couple days ago. And he is a guy who can get to the rim, obviously. We've got a couple of his slam dunks from the games we've seen you guys play. And but I'm sure he has elevated his game from the offseason, and I'm sure you're excited to see what his next step is as a senior now. But tell me a little bit about Parker and what he's turning into as a senior now this season.
Yeah, he is. Every day he gets in the gym, he gets better and better. And obviously, he had a great summer for us. Picked up about 8 to 10 nice D1 offers, and committed just a couple weeks ago to UC Irvine. We had a signing a couple days ago, and he's just first and foremost 4.4 student, high SAT score, high ACT score. But I mean, he's a phenomenal kid. Phenomenal young man, great teammate. So yeah, you're gonna see a star in the making tonight and moving forward as the season goes on.
Is he a lengthy guy that can? Are you seeing him handle the ball too? Like, can you see him kind of running a point as you see those kind of linkier guys do that? Is he a guy that wants to take onus of sometimes playing with the ball in his hand sometimes?
Yeah, he'll initiate some offense. He's like a guard out there. He's not your traditional post player at 6'9". You know, he's what you call a stretch five. He shoots it well, but he can definitely put on the deck, no doubt. Handles are really good. For a 6'9 kid, he moves. Very athletic.
I find it funny how basketball develops. Like, Brad, do you think 10 years ago, you think you'd let a 6'9 kid handle the ball up the court? Like, do you ever think about that sometimes?
6'9 kid back in the day, Phil, would have never left the paint area. It's totally changed.
Crazy
I'd
stuff.
I'd have probably been crucified if I allowed a 6'9 kid to leave the paint. Nowadays, it's just you don't have a paint guy anymore. It's just everyone, is out there shooting the three ball, but that's how the game has changed, and we've kind of had to adjust to it.
Absolutely. Another guy, especially kind of sharpshooter guy, but he can get to the rim too. Sajan Sidhu, a guy we paid attention to last year as well. He had a couple of massive games for you as well. He's one of the senior leaders coming back as well. What kind of presence does he bring to this roster and his ability on the basketball court?
Yeah, I made a mention at Parker's signing the other day that Spies and Sidhu, I'll put them up against any tandem in the state senior-wise. They are so good. Sajan has got some high D2 offers right now. He's just very mature, four-year varsity guy, was on our state championship team as a freshman, so he's been in big games, played in big games. So yeah, what a difference a year's made with him. And yeah, he is going to be special this year. I know the Price kid out in St. Joe's is really good, but I'll tell you what, I'll put Sajan against anybody in the section right now. He's that good.
Yeah, absolutely. You're replacing a Mr. 2000 from a year ago with Julius. I do see another Ola Rawaju on the roster, so I guess I got to practice the name. tell me about replacing Julius and what you got coming up as well. I know he was a big player for you guys, and I'm sure you're wishing him well where he's going next. But tell me about the replacing him and what kind of thing you're looking for from your roster of replacing him there.
Yeah, I just talked to him last night. He was freshman of the week in his conference. He's had a 19-point game and a 21-point game, so he's really doing good at a D2, high D2 school. His brother's really good. A little different type of player than Julius. Julius is a little more, shot the three ball more. Damo can shoot the three ball, but really tough inside, can guard bigs and stuff. So, yeah, only a sophomore, and he's 6'5", so you're going to see a treat by him tonight. And the other two guys really – both juniors. Jackson Silverston just brings a lot of energy to us. Mm-hmm. He'll guard 6'3", 6'4", guys. Does a lot of the dirty work for us. And then Ty Shock really become an elite shooter and great ball handler, and will kind of relieve Sajan a little bit of handling the ball. So really good starting five. These guys had a great summer. Had some big wins over the summer. And, we're ranked. We got ranked. I was surprised how high we were ranked. We're ranked 21 in Cal High Sports, which, Phil, I think that's the highest we've been preseason ranked, even back in the Jaylen days. So really really excited about this team moving forward. Now, the ranking's great,
yeah,
but it really doesn't mean a whole lot. You got to win games, and that's what we're trying to do starting tonight.
Well, I was going to say, is that a blessing or a curse to get ranked that high, sometimes with the expectations? And sometimes you get a target on your back early, team saying, oh, that's a 21 ranked team, we got to show up tonight, and you're going to get the best out of everybody.
Yep, very true.
Yeah, certainly. I'm trying to see if I can pull up your schedule here with you guys. I know tonight, obviously, Bakersfield. You mentioned it's a tough opponent tonight and opening with them. You know, tell me a little bit about the start of your schedule here and what you guys kind of go through, especially when you get ready for, league play and all the Central Section rigors that come through with it. I know you got to go to St. Joe's this year, from what I remember. What excites you about the challenges of the schedule so far this year?
Yeah, it's probably as good as a schedule we have. We got some tough non-league games. We'll play in the Clovis West tournament here that second week in December, which is always a good one. And then the next two tournaments, we'll go to the Tart Classic in Vegas, and I saw our teams in our bracket, and it's really, really good. So, and then we go to the Damien Classic, which is really another good one. So, and then we come back in January, and we're going to take a trip over to Santa Maria. We're just in a non-league game. We're going to go play St. Joe's on a Saturday. And then that following Monday, Phil, is the MLK Classic at De La Salle High School, and we're going to play Reardon. So there's two top 10 teams in the state right there. We'll play in a 48-hour span. But our kids are excited about it and ready for the challenge.
Absolutely. You know, kind of putting it right in the middle of league play, those kind of games, you know, do you feel like it kind of ramps you up for that intensity, the playoff intensity? I know you guys, with that playoff run last year, you know, facing that St. Joe's team, you know, what does that gear you up for? Do you feel like you feel playoff atmosphere at those kind of games when you schedule them against top teams like that?
I love scheduling those games in January and February, and then we'll go to Stockton later in mid-February, right before playoffs, and we'll play in a showcase there, play a team called Lincoln of Stockton. They were in the D1 final last year in Sacramento. So, yeah, I think it's important, Phil, to schedule those games come January, February. That way, when you come to section playoffs, state playoffs, you're kind of ready to go.
What do you think from what you've assessed so far? I know you got to see him play a game, actually, but what do you believe this team's strength is going into this year?
I think our leadership, I really love our two seniors. All five of our starters all played valuable minutes last year. So even though we start a sophomore and two juniors, you know, those guys, that sophomore and those two juniors, Olin Rwaju and then Shock and Silverstone, really are experienced. They played big games last year. So I think just our experience in tough game situations is really going to hopefully pay off moving forward this year.
Yeah, Brad Rosnowski here, head coach of San Joaquin Memorial Boys Basketball. Just a couple minutes here left with you. But, with this game tonight, of course, there's going to be a lot of people around it in terms of it. You know, do you feel like, you know, talking about how much do you pay attention to around what the Central Section's looking like and what it's shaping up to be? And how much of it is, do you feel like there's a little more unknown this year? Because I know a lot of big names went into the graduation side of things last year. Do you feel like there's going to be some surprises this year in the Central Section and how things are going to shape up?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk about the Central. I think we're all kind of chasing St. Joe's right now. I think, you know, they do return. Obviously, Tunde is a big loss for them. But we played them in the fall, played a great game with them in the fall, and they still return some length, some good guards. So locally here, I don't know a lot about everybody yet. I didn't see a lot of everybody over the summer. But, you know, I know the track's going to be really tough. All those teams are good. So I don't think there's a lack of luster around here. I think it's going to be, you know, a great some great teams and moving forward in the playoffs.
Could shape up for some interesting developments heading into Saland, right, with some teams. Who knows what could kind of come of it when it gets to that point. I'm sure you hope you're one of the teams to get there, for sure.
Yeah, we're hoping so.
Absolutely. Brad, excited about tonight, of course, and that game is 7 p.m. Now, I can't push tickets there. I'm assuming tickets are gone. So if you got your tickets, congrats to go tonight. But I will say you could listen to the game on 1430 tonight. And, Brad, we hope to be talking to you post-game after a victory.
No, I appreciate it. So there are some tickets, limited seats available on the GoFan.co app. That's GoFan.co app. That's the only way. I doubt it if you come to the door, there's going to be any available. But I was told there's still a few few left on there, so if anybody wants to come out. The Jalen's retirement ceremony will start at 6:30, and then we're looking to tip the varsity game, you know, anywhere between 7 and 7:15.
Okay, perfect. And I just got confirmation. I think we're going to have a little, just a small chat with Jalen in our pregame tonight as well. So after the ceremony's
awesome.
Over.
I know we're going to try to talk to Paul about that. Hopefully you guys can talk to him. And then we look forward to seeing you tonight, Phil.
Look forward to seeing you tonight. I can't wait. Basketball, it's exciting. It's off and running right now tonight. So it should be a lot of fun. Hey, Brad, good luck tonight. We'll see you at the gym.
Talk soon. Thanks, Phil.
All right, Brad Rabsnosky of San Joaquin Memorial. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN. To Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Well, I think we don't have to wonder anymore here. I just got sent a very interesting release about 15 minutes ago. Big thanks to Brad Rozovsky for joining us in the last segment, by the way. Can't wait to see this game tonight, which you can hear on 1430, 6:45 pregame, 7 p.m. tip-off from San Joaquin Memorial. So Jorge, the Mountain West has sent out clinching scenarios for the football team for all of the six teams that are currently involved in this, seven teams that are currently involved in potentially playing for the Mountain West championship. I have a lot of different things that could happen here in front of me, but I think a lot of people are genuinely curious about how Fresno State can get to a Mountain West championship, play in a Mountain West championship. Jorge, are you curious of what the outcomes could be for this one? You want to hear what the Mountain West has said in terms of the way Fresno State can get there? You ready for this?
Yeah, let's go.
So, Fresno State will get to the Mountain West. This is the easiest path, I would say. This is the easiest path. Fresno State gets the Mountain West Championship if San Diego State wins out and UNLV loses at least one game the next two games. UNLV has Hawaii and they have Nevada. So you need one UNLV loss along the way. You can be tied with everybody else. And if San Diego State is up there at 7-1 Mountain West record, Fresno State is in the Mountain West Championship in San Diego in 3 weeks. Here's the other clinching scenario. Fresno State can win the final two games, and they need at least a loss from these four teams, Boise, Hawaii, New Mexico, and Las Vegas, to all lose at least once. And then that is the cleanest path to there as well, although I would say, that's just everybody losing one, and then all the tied teams that are tied with Fresno State, then it would just be Fresno State alone in second place and be them in San Diego. So there you go. That's kind of the logical ladder leap you can make there. You can also make the Mountain West Championship if Fresno State wins twice, Boise wins twice, and San Diego, Las Vegas, Hawaii, and New Mexico each lose one game the rest of the year. And then you would have Boise versus Fresno State in the Mountain West Championship. Go figure there. You want to host the championship game, Jorge? Do you want to know how Fresno State hosts the Mountain West Championship game? That is still a possibility, distinctly.
Let's see. We would have to win out.
We'd have to win our two games, correct?
San Diego lose.
San Diego would need to lose the final two games of the year.
Boise lose the final two.
New Mexico loses to Air Force. Las Vegas UNLV loses one of their next two games. That's it. Okay. Boise doesn't control anything.
Really?
In terms of that. Nor does Hawaii. You need New Mexico to lose specifically to Air Force. You need UNLV to lose to either Hawaii or Nevada. You need San Diego to lose to San Jose and New Mexico. And as long as Fresno State wins two games, you're going to be at Bulldog Stadium December 6th. For a Mountain West championship game. That doesn't sound too crazy.
That's really interesting.
That doesn't sound like out of the complete realm of possibility.
Yes, correct.
It's almost too good to be true, right?
I could almost dream of it.
It all goes away if they lose to Utah State this week. But all goes away.
I feel like we have a really good path to just...
You like the path? You like the path. Definitely. I like the path. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what the scenario is if Fresno State wins out, San Diego State wins out, and UNLV wins out. What is that scenario? Because I don't see a clean... It doesn't give you the clean path for UNLV to then get in. I think they're still confused on if everybody just kind of wins out, then who makes it. I think it all is kind of determined. Like,
the nuclear scenario.
Yeah, so that's the scenario that kind of doesn't help us in any way. But
the coin flip scenario.
Yeah. Well, so everybody has at least two wins against each other except for UNLV, which is the strangest bit, is why UNLV is blocking Fresno State from making it to it. And let's be honest, I don't know if UNLV is a legit team to get to the Mountain West. I mean, eye test tells me their offense is good. Their defense is horrendous. It could catch up to them in the next couple of years. Hey, Nevada just clipped San Jose for 55 points. You know, like maybe Nevada found something in the final 2 weeks. You know, who knows? But
I mean, it's San Jose, so I wouldn't put much credit on that.
Yeah, no. Who does Nevada have? I think they have Air Force. That's kind of an irrelevant game. San Diego makes it if they just win the final two home games. They host the championship. They also host the championship. They win once. Hawaii loses, New Mexico loses, and UNLV loses. That's kind of a weird path, honestly. The Mountain West championship game would be at Boise if they win. Boise wins the final two games. San Diego loses the final two games. And Fresno State, Hawaii, New Mexico, and UNLV lose at least once. They also would host the championship game if they win twice. New Mexico wins twice. San Diego loses to San Jose. Fresno State and Hawaii lose once. That would basically mean Boise and New Mexico are in a championship game at Boise. Hawaii hosts a Mountain West championship. If they win the final two games, Boise, Fresno State, New Mexico, San Diego State lose one time. UNLV hosts the championship game. If they win the final two games, San Diego State loses the final two games. Boise, Fresno State, New Mexico loses at least once down the stretch as well. That's unlikely because New Mexico and San Diego State play each other. So you're kind of threading the needle with exact results there. And New Mexico can host a Mountain West championship if they win their final two. Boise, Fresno, Hawaii each lose. They will host a championship. Actually, that's fascinating. They don't need anything from San Diego State to happen for New Mexico to host a championship game. That feels more direct than anybody. Boise could definitely lose to Utah State. Fresno State could lose to Utah State. Hawaii could lose to UNLV. That's the weird thing about New Mexico. But it would take a miracle. God bless our troops, especially our Air Force troops, if they can beat New Mexico. That is an interesting result that would help Fresno State a whole lot.
Can't beat them too, right?
We'd like them to. We would like them to handle business.
That would be really good for us.
So all I'm saying is, Jorge, I have a Hawaii hat. I might rock it this week. I might rock it on Friday just to send the vibes out.
Warriors.
Go Rainbow Warriors in Las Vegas.
Rainbow Warriors?
Yeah, the Rainbow Warriors.
Okay, go Rainbow Warriors.
So Fresno State fans, here's what you need. We're big Hawaii fans. We're big Air Force fans, and let's go for it all. We're all big Spartan fans this week. San Jose beating San Diego. I know you don't like it, Jorge. You're scrunching your face at it. You don't like it. But let me tell you.
I don't even want to say it. It doesn't like it tastes
just
bad.
Just go Spartans. Can you give me a go Spartans? Can you root for Air Force at least? You'd rather root for Air Force.
Yeah.
Even with your biases in the armed forces, Jorge, you'd rather root for Air Force than San Jose. That's how deep the hatred
times.
is. That's how deep the hatred is. All right. Let's remind people what the schedule is before we say goodbye. Hand it off to Paul Metters for the Sunbird Sports Show. That's a reminder. Yes, we have the early edition of Sunbird Sports Show today. That is a 5 p.m. start with a going to 6. Paul Metters will then head on over to San Joaquin Memorial and call the game with me tonight. San Joaquin Memorial versus Bakersfield High. Tip off at 7 p.m. Pregame at around 6:45. We'll have that. And then tomorrow we'll have Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D, 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 5, 2 hours of show that we'll have our Thursday night football presentation via Westwood. Bills and Texans from Houston, 5 p.m. Folks, the Sharks are hot. They got another game tomorrow. That's the Sharks and the Kings tomorrow night, 6:30 pre with a 7 p.m. puck drop. Friday, Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D, 2 to 3. We'll have my show from 3 to 5. We'll have Central East in Clovis for the 1AA Central Section Championship from Collegian Stadium. That is a 6:30 pregame, 7 p.m. kickoff. Myself, Paul Metters, on the call. Saturday, you'll have Paul Metters' show, the Central Valley Sports Report, 10 a.m. to noon. And that'll be on Saturday on 1430. And then right after him, Jorge, we got some college football. How about a little USC in Oregon? Is that at Oregon or is that USC?
That's at Oregon.
You remember some big-time battles between USC and Oregon?
Yeah, definitely.
Who has each other's number more? Is it Oregon or USC?
I think USC barely. Yeah. I think Oregon has closed it up the last few years.
Closed the gap, yeah.
Yeah, but it's going to be good because they're both ranked and trying to win the Big Ten.
There you go. Sharks and Senators. I believe that game is a 3:30 pre with a 4 p.m. puck drop.
Correct,
on Saturday.
Yes.
That's going to be over on 790. And finally, for your NFL football, Raiders and Browns, going to be the day game, 12:30 pre with a 1:05 kickoff. Then Rams football will be on 14:30. It's the Westwood presentation. Tampa and L.A., Lakers and Jazz on Sunday as well over at 790. And then we'll have Monday Night Football, Niners, Panthers there on 14:30 on Monday. Major wager, me and Ed's pizza there as well. All right, Jorge, we got to get out of here. Clear it out for our Sunbirds folks here. Can't wait for this show. Not sure who we have got coming up, but looks like our guests are here.
Yeah.
So
I believe it's I don't know if he's still the soccer coach or not, but he's the one that's coming up.
All right. We'll flip it over to 790. Flip it over to 790, then come back to 1430 at 6:30. We'll have everything for you. Paul Metters coming up next over at 790. We'll see you tonight from San Joaquin Memorial. Till then, Behind the Bench returns at 3 o'clock tomorrow.